Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital, by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayo Pack Bank. We are joined here on the Cup of Joe political show by the recently installed mayor in the village of Tuckahoe, Omyra Andino. She took office back in April. Mayor Andino, welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. You are the first woman mayor of Tuckahoe, the first person of color to become mayor in Tuckahoe. You first ran for office in 2018 for the village board in Tuckahoe. You were elected then. A couple of years later, what inspired you to run for mayor?
Wow. So thank you for having me, John.
And congratulations on your victory, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. When I first ran for village trustee, not long before that, I realized that I just had become apathetic to politics and to politicians, and felt that, really my voice didn't matter. And, I had a conversation with a few people who were really involved, and it just hit me one day that, if you want things to be the way you think they should be, then you have to have some skin in the game. And so someone on the Democratic committee, I'm a Democrat, asked me to run. And I was reluctant initially because, as I mentioned to you when we spoke earlier, I don't like to have the limelight. I don't like to be, public, quote unquote, public figure. But I've always had a heart for service. And so when I thought about it as, giving service and being a servant to my community, it changed the way I thought about it. And that's what I do. Every community that I've worked in, that's what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, why not? Why not?
You were born in the Bronx. You were raised in Brooklyn. You attended Nyack College, from which you graduated in Rockland County. You have a background as the CEO of a nonprofit. You are now the CEO of the Village of Tuckahoe. How does that experience, and talk about that nonprofit too, how does that experience as a nonprofit, basically a corporate world CEO, help you adapt to running the Village of Tuckahoe?
Well, I'm the CEO for the Institutes of Applied Human Dynamics, otherwise known as IAHD, and we provide services for people with developmental disabilities. We have 34 residences, or some people call group homes, in the Bronx and Westchester, and we have day programs where we provide people with work and life skills. And I think running a village is very similar to running a not-for-profit. You're kind of fighting for the same things. You're always having to work with a very lean budget. IAHD's budget is $64 million. The village's budget is between $13 and $15, depending on who you ask. You're always looking for funding. You want to make sure that processes are streamlined, that, that you run an efficient kind of mm-hmm. organization. And I think it's very similar to running the village,
mm-hmm.
albeit it's somewhat different because government, the wheels of not-for-profits turn slowly, and so do they with government. So it's very frustrating sometimes. But I think the leadership skills that you have for an organization like IAHD, you also can use in the village. It helps you look at processes and how you can streamline things, how you can be more efficient. And so far, there's still a learning curve. But I'm enjoying it. I think we're making a lot of positive changes in the last 3 months. We just hit the ground running. So we have a lot of things, going mm-hmm. on right
you
now.
You took over from Greg Luisi. Greg Luisi succeeded you as mayor in Tuckahoe. And like you said, you hit the ground running. You had to because of COVID. You had no choice but to hit the ground yes. running because of COVID.
So even before, we had no choice. So even before this election as mayor. Remember, I ran last year as for trustee again, to be reelected. And COVID hit us in March. And so the entire election was moved twice. And I realized that we had to be very aggressive in getting vaccines, testing for people, masks, and PPE. And so one of the benefits of being the CEO for IAHD is that I had contacts in the private sector that I could count on and say, we need PPE. Can you help me? Can call labs that work with the people that we support and ask them to come in and do testing when only the larger cities and towns were getting help from the Department of Health because they were bigger. So we were being told, go to those, New Rochelle and Mount Vernon and Yonkers, when we had a lot of people who were afraid to travel outside of the village and who didn't have their own transportation. They had to take public transportation. So we were fortunate enough that I was able to help 300 plus people get tested and also have people get vaccinated.
How do you convince the wary to get vaccinated, especially now with Delta all over?
Yeah, it's a big challenge that I'm facing not only here in the village, but also at my not-for-profit, especially with the Black and Brown community who have experienced, atrocities in the past. It's very difficult to explain to someone, and we have a scientist on the board, Renee Howell, our deputy mayor. She helped to develop the testing, one of the COVID tests. So it's still a challenge. I think for some people, it's just repetition. They have to keep hearing you talk about it. For my organization, I publicly took the vaccine and said to them, I feel safe taking it. I encouraged my daughter to take it. So giving them some personal stories and letting them know that you feel comfortable and that you feel confident that the vaccine is going to, the pros and cons to the vaccine, the pros actually outweigh the cons. Mm-hmm. And I made a joke to somebody and I said, I love Big Mac. I'm not necessarily sure what's in a Big Mac, but I still eat it. And so, we laugh about it, but to sort of not force people either to take it, not to just berate them, but to try to educate them. And we did some education here. We had our deputy mayor do an entire a session with the library to educate people on how it was made. She acknowledged, yes, we understand why you're reluctant. And she's talked about why it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Who is that deputy mayor now? Give a shout out to the deputy mayor.
That's Renee Howell, deputy mayor. Mm-hmm. Renee Howell.
Right.
Who works for Siemens.
How do you convince people from the standpoint of, and this is what I try, I'm not sure how successful it is, and this is what people who've had COVID too and are still vaccine reluctant. I say, well, you had it before. Who knows better than you what can happen to you? Would you like to experience the alternative, which is a worst case scenario, or for somebody who didn't have it before? And you say to them, well, look at what can happen to you if you don't get vaccinated, especially now with Delta. This is a real Delta surge all over now. How do you overcome that mindset? That's a tough mindset to overcome when it's fine, when it's locked in with somebody.
It's a very tough mindset to overcome. As I said before, I think that there are some people we're just never going to convince, no matter what we say to
them. I've gotten that feeling, unfortunately. Yeah.
There are some people we're just never going to convince. I have the mindset of we just don't give up. We keep trying. I contacted the county and asked for help with another vaccine clinic and got a little pushback from some residents who were saying, why are you encouraging children to get vaccinated? So we're going to have on July 31st, the Pfizer vaccine here for students 12 and up, for anyone who wants their child. And again, I'm trying to offer my role I see as government is to give people the opportunity to have access. So I am not here to force anyone to do it. I want to educate people and let them know what the pros and cons are. But ultimately, I want to give people access. And that's the most important thing to me.
July 31st, where will that distribution be?
To information.
Mm-hmm. July 31st,
where will that at the community center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the community
center. The distribution at the community center in Tuckahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Between 9 a.m. and noon.
What is the address off the top of your head for that?
71 Columbus Avenue.
in Tuckahoe. Okay, on July 31st, Mayor Omira Andino, Tuckahoe Village, here on Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. How have you worked with small businesses, especially with your business background, to help them get back on their feet during COVID? I guess focusing towards post-COVID. We're not really post-COVID yet, at least not in my mind. You know, in some minds, really. Like post-COVID. And even businesses that seem to be like they have no lifeline, no hope, no support. How do we get them back on their feet? What have you done so far?
Yeah, so one of the, you know, last year we began working with the Chamber of Commerce to first and foremost make sure that the small businesses had the information to tap into the funding. You know, there were many who didn't really know how they could get PPP loans or other types of grants for their businesses. So any information that we get into the village, we pass on to the Chamber of Commerce, and we work very closely with the Chamber of Commerce. And right now, one of the things that we've begun is we started a think tank, and we have business leaders in the community as well as residents coming together to talk about what is it that the village can do to help, and also how can the Chamber of Commerce help people get back on track. One of the things that many municipalities did, including Tuckahoe, is we made sure that our rules, our code, and our zoning laws were not as strict for restaurants so that people could have outdoor dining. So we helped them. We also developed guidelines for them to be able to have outdoor dining and to make it look nice so that it's not just thrown together. So we're working together with the Chamber of Commerce and the small businesses as, you know, new information comes in to help them. Because one of the things that disturbed me is that we had a 20-year business here, one of our yoga businesses, go under during COVID, and I really didn't know about it until after the fact. So I'm trying to be proactive. I attend the Chamber of Commerce meetings. I meet with the Chamber of Commerce board chair to talk about the businesses and, you know, what are their challenges, to see what we can do to help. And also celebrating businesses. So there, you know, we're making sure that businesses who are celebrating anniversaries, we're out there, we're making sure that we're giving the community information so that they can go out and patronize.
During COVID, all throughout New York State, we relaxed the restrictions on to-go alcohol, going to a restaurant, take out a beer, a cocktail, et cetera. Do we need to be able to continue that as we try to get post-COVID to help those businesses continue to stay afloat? Now, there are pros and cons to that. Some say, well, what's to prevent somebody from going to a restaurant, getting a cocktail, starting to drive home, and along the way they get stuck in traffic and they take a belt or two, which defeats the purpose.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it's very difficult for government to monitor everything that's happening. You know, there is some sense of responsibility on the citizens' part. And I get it that there's always a risk, but we have to think in terms of, do the risks outweigh the benefits? And our business is going to go under if we don't provide them that lifeline. So I think that it's not a bad idea to continue to, you know, loosen some of those rules so that people can survive. As you said, we're not quite post-COVID, but hopefully we're in that direction.
Have we learned things along the way during COVID? Have we learned things during COVID that maybe we didn't know before and that we can, you know, apply to make everything better?
So I think now what we're doing and we're talking about is making sure that we have contingency plans, that we have, emergency preparedness plans, so that if something like this does happen again, we are ready. You know, I have to give our staff credit, our village administrator, David Burke. We said we need to get right on Zoom or, you know, some kind of virtual platform, and we didn't really miss a beat. Our library, the kinds of virtual programming that our library provided for the community, I think really helped a lot of people who may have suffered a lot more had they not had some outlets. They're talking a lot about, you know, the mental health issue and the mental health crisis because of COVID. So I think being prepared, learning everything that we have learned now, and actually sitting down and putting together an emergency preparedness plan so that we are prepared in the future if something like this happens again, which is quite
You're in office for 2 years.
To think that this can happen again.
You have a two-year term in office, and you've had to battle COVID. You've made progress there. You've gotten the vaccines out and distributed. You'll continue to do that. You've worked diligently with small businesses and people, residents around the village. What else in 3 months in office, and I know it's only 3 months, do you feel you've accomplished so far? 3 months goes by fast, right? More like 3 days.
It does. Yeah. It does. It does, especially when you're working another actual full-time job.
Right.
You know, sometimes people think this is a full-time job, and if you want to do it with excellence, it does take a lot of your time. So one of the first things that we worked on as soon as I was elected was putting together a historic preservation task force. So we experienced some of our historic sites being demolished and really not cared for, and we didn't have any protections for those sites. So my first order of business was actually with the board to vote in a historic preservation task force who is tasked with identifying all of our historic sites and recommending legislation. So that's in the works. We have already been working on beautification efforts. You know, there's nothing better than post-COVID and even any time, whether there's a pandemic or not, for people to come out and feel that they, you know, their village is beautiful, and that where they live is well taken care of. So we're, you know, we have beautification committee who is working on a big project for our Depot Square. It's going to be upgraded. Our library has an entire project that, you know, we're going to be working on to upgrade the library, upgrades to the community center. So that's one important aspect, I think, of government, is to make sure that where we live, people love. The other thing that we are also working on is we bonded for a lot of work that's needed in the village, and it's been needed for many years. Our traffic light system, everyone's been complaining. When I was campaigning in 2018 and knocked on doors, that was one of the first things people said, what are we going to do about the lights? You know, you're sitting there for 2 and 3 minutes. It's causing traffic. So we bonded for that. Our sewer system infrastructure is eroding quick. Upgrades to our parks, our sidewalks and our streets, just the things that local government should be doing. We also are, you know, a big project that we started working on is revamping and reviewing our building department processes. Our code has not been updated in a long time. So we are working on our comprehensive plan, which we've also bonded for. Our master plan, which hasn't been updated in more than 10 years, so that we can, you know, start to look, what's the future going to look like in Tuckahoe? So we're now looking at who is going to serve on that committee. Our main street is gorgeous. We want to make sure that when we're developing on Columbus and on Marbledale, the streets that intersect with Main Street, that it's fluid, that it's beautiful, and that we have opportunities for new businesses to come in to enhance our village. And so those are some of the things that we're working on. We're also putting together a welcome committee that's going to put together like checklists to give people when they come in. We have a lot of new residents who say, you know, oh, I didn't know we had food scrapping. We have a very robust food scrapping program, and we've just begun picking up food scrapping from people's residences. The garbage, when is garbage picked up? Just letting people know the basic things that sometimes they just don't know when they're new,
right,
and helping businesses know what permits do you need for what work and residents. We have a lot of, you know, people coming in to see me during my office hours to complain that they got a violation. They didn't know that they had to get a permit, or, you know, they didn't know that the wall had to be this height, and they thought it was allowed to be taller. So to be able to give people some cheat sheets to help streamline processes. And we've begun that again with our deputy mayor, Renee Howell, who started us with a process mapping exercise with the building department to see what's our process now. And then we're going to have businesses and residents who've experienced the process come in and give us feedback, because I think it's important for us to look under the hood, see what can we do better, what can we be more efficient in, and then just do it.
You talked about when
those
you ran
some of the things
office.
That we're working on. I want to increase access to people.
You talked about when you ran for office, what inspired you was trying to make change, that if you want things to be the way you want them, you have to be one of the people to work for that. You talked about the things you've done in office already. Do sometimes our elected officials, especially at the most local level where you are, forget that it's about the day-to-day concerns of the residents, like you just described, what your office has been like for the first 3 months, just dealing with everyday stuff, like getting the garbage picked up, like you said.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure we did from, you know, at the outset was to make sure that the residents had access to us, to all of us, not just the mayor. So I've asked every village trustee to have office hours. So we all are here at some point during the week, that some people can come in, residents can come in, business owners can come in and talk to us about their concerns. We've had people come in and say, I want to volunteer with different initiatives. And so I think access to about a fine that he got. And I saw him and I said, oh, are you here to see me? He goes, I'm here to see the mayor. And I said, oh, that's me. Come on in. And he said, I came from city. I never saw anything like this. I could just walk in and talk to the mayor. I thought there'd be a line out the door. So that really gives me great satisfaction that people see that they have access to me, because to me, that's really what it should be about, is so helping people with their everyday concerns.
I guess that's you're used to the fact that if you go shopping, when you go shopping in the supermarket, somebody may just walk up to you and say, hey, mayor, I need this. Hey, mayor, can you lower my taxes?
Yes.
Yeah, things like that.
Yes, yeah. That's the favorite one. Can you lower my taxes? I did go into the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and one of our seniors saw me there, and she said, oh, my gosh, you shop? And I said, yes, I eat. And she goes, yeah, but I thought someone eat, shopped right? for you.
Yeah.
I thought someone shopped for you.
Another mayor in another part of Westchester, he's going to remain nameless, but he told me a story about a year ago, how he walked into a supermarket. And somebody walked up to him and said, mayor, can you lower my taxes? And he said, you know, I can do a lot of things for you. I'm going to tell you right here, right now, no, I can't lower your taxes, so don't expect me to. And the guy said, well, why not? He said, you like this service and that's, and he ran out all the services the village provides. And he said, you'd like to have all that. You like that, huh? And the guy said, yeah, I do. The mayor said, well, who's going to pay for it if we don't? And
it all costs money.
All right, I understand.
It all costs money. I mean,
that's what I'm like. And you talk to different politics people around the county who say, different public officials, that you know, you got a great list of things we'd like to do, but John, you got to remember, you have your own list too. You suggest this. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Who's going to pay for it?
Exactly. And I have to give credit again to our village administrator and our staff, because we're very good with getting grants so that we can keep taxes low. You know, this year we went through COVID, and we were still able to raise taxes below the cap, which I never imagined we would be able to do. But we were really efficient. Our department heads were very on top of their budget and made sure that they were efficient. And so we were able to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of the things that the residents need to know. We have backyard pickup.
As part of
backyard pickup. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, no, we have backyard pickup. And I tell people, you know, you have someone coming to get your garbage in your backyard. How many places in the United States can
do
say that?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As part of what you do, and this obviously connects to your CEO experience too, as part of it, moving money around, trying to find money for different things that face value doesn't look like that money's there. But part of what you do is trying to find a way to move something from column A to column B to column C, maybe back to column A and then down to column Z.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always right. It's always a juggle. And, you know, we do have a contingency fund that we use for, you know, mostly when we're having to deal with staff increases. But we do have a little cushion, not a big cushion, especially this year in COVID, and we have our fund balance. So we've used, and again, I have to give credit to our village administrator, David Burke, when he first got here, you know, years ago, he helped build that needed when some things were falling short. And that's very important that we make sure that we build up our fund balance. And so that's why our grants are very important. I work very closely with our officials, our Senate, senators, Shelley Mays Slater, Damon Marr, and George Latimer. I go to them and say, we need money. We had to upgrade our cameras for the police, our body cams. And they gave us money for that so that we don't have to use our money. So mm-hmm. I think part of my job is to find money that is someone else's to spend.
Next time the village budget rolls around, what would you like to see in that budget that may not be there right now?
So I think, you know, because of COVID, there were so many things that we took out that we, you know, we want to have, I want the village to be a vibrant village that has activities for our youth, that has events that people want to stay here. We want this to be like the destination village, not for people to go out and do things, but for people to come here. So I think we, you know, our 4th of July fireworks, we didn't include that in our budget because we didn't know what COVID was gonna, you know, what things were gonna be like. And so those are some things that they're costly and people don't realize that they're costly, but they also add to quality of life. So I want us to look at, you know, we already have a lot of what we want in our budget, but I really want to focus on our building department and streamlining our processes because I see that's an area for us to improve.
How about September, 6 weeks away? Should schools be fully reopened come September?
Well, everyone would love the schools to reopen fully. What a nightmare it's been for families, for the students, for teachers. I, as the mayor, I'm very careful not to cross those lines and tell the school what they should do. I obviously would love for our students to be back in, but I leave that to the school administrators and the school boards to decide. My feeling is always we should follow guidance. You really don't want for something to go wrong and it's because we went rogue. So I think that it's important for the administrators and the boards to look at guidance, look at the science, and make a decision based on that. But I really don't try to influence those decisions.
Mm-hmm. I guess Delta will have a lot to do with what happens between now and then.
Yeah. But this summer, absolutely. And I think my role, again, as I said, is I'm going to try to give as much access to services, like getting the vaccine here in Tuckahoe, so that parents who do want their children to be vaccinated, so that we can have schools open, have access. And that's what I want to do. I want to be the mayor that gives them that opportunity.
The always accessible mayor of the village of Tuckahoe, Myra Andino, in office now 3 months since April. Mayor, your door is open. Your office is an open book. How can the village residents of Tuckahoe or anywhere who might like to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you besides stopping by the office? Email, phone number,
they can always,
website?
Yep. They can email me. They can go to the website. And on the website, they can just, it'll say contact the mayor and any other village board member. They can send me an email. I respond to emails. I'm here on Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m. and you can stop in or you can call and ask to make an appointment with Jackie Ferretti, our deputy clerk.
Give us that phone number, if you would.
The phone number where I could be reached is 914-231-0233.
All right. For the village mayor in Tuckahoe, Myra Andino. And Myra Andino, failing all else, somebody could walk up to you in the supermarket and just stop and talk to you, and you're always accessible there, right?
That's absolutely
even
right.
Even when you're online and when you're in a rush, too. So that's good to know. I mean, I have a feeling you'll get stopped a few times along the way, right? Tuckahoe Village Mayor Myra Andino here on Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built by Lipolis Electric, At LePolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get LePolis by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth too. A fiduciary standard by White Plains Hospital and Tompkins Mayor Pack Bank, and by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube, and get the app now. Download it. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.